You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, come with us now. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. It is the day after. Just an historic day in sports. Three NBA games postponed, three Major League Baseball games postponed, three WNBA games, five MLS games, all postponed. The largest spontaneous, call it a protest, call it a boycott, call it a strike in the history of sports.
And it's going to go down. I think they're going to talk about that day yesterday in when I was in college at UCLA, I took an African-American history class. I think that this day is going to come up in future African-American history classes. Did you see, Mace, where the attorney general in Wisconsin was asked about the NBA players, and he said, the NBA players have done more to advance this cause than the senators and congresspeople from Wisconsin. So in one day, they were able to make substantive change, and I don't think they're done. I think even though they announced they are going to come back and play, I think they're going to hold some people's feet to the fire. They were able to get $300 million for some of their causes, and I think that the players have handled this in a historic way, and they're going to be talked about for a long time.
Now, there was a moment last night when we were all texting when it looked like, at least momentarily, the plug had been pulled. Here's Adrian Wojnarowski from last night. What happened in that players-only meeting?
This was an emotional meeting. And listen, there are a lot of perspectives on what the right course of action is. I was told that the Lakers, the Clippers, essentially an informal poll said they were willing to end the season. These are obviously two teams who believe that they have a chance to win a championship. But I was told by a high-ranking source in the meeting that this conversation is going to continue into tomorrow, that certainly players, everybody in the league is in a heightened emotional place right now.
Let me add a little bit more to that. Mark Spears on Get Up this morning added some color to exactly what went on in that meeting last night. Here he is on what happened in last night's players-only meeting.
The Bucks talked. Kyle Korver explained to Doc Rivers, who asked why they did what they did. And while most of the room was a little disappointed that they weren't consulting the rest of the teams before they made that decision, Jaylen Brown stood up for those guys. Jaylen Brown also challenged the players. He said, okay, now if we're going home, are you going home to hang out with your family? Are you going to hang out with your friends? Are you really going to be on the front line? Are you really going to, you know, keep this fight going? Or are you just going home to go home? And that was one of the questions that was given. Chris Paul and Andre Iguodala pushed that they keep things on a united front. Let's see what happens, because it definitely didn't sound like it ended in a very united way. But a lot of players talked, but there wasn't any much resolution in the end.
So it sounds like Milwaukee essentially went rogue on this yesterday. They just decided they were going to do it. And everybody else followed them. And people in other sports followed them, including the Milwaukee Brewers. Again, the Jacob Blake shooting was in Kenosha, Wisconsin. So in their backyards for all intents and purposes. And it sounds like the Lakers and Clippers at one point they walked out of that meeting.
Well, LeBron hasn't talked yet. I think one of the things that was discussed that I've heard from a couple of people who I trust is that it was more of a polling of, okay, does everybody want to play? Are there people that don't want to play? And the guys who voted not to play were thinking more along the lines of, well, if we're not going to do anything moving forward, if we're not gonna use our platform to advance our cause, then what is the point in playing? And it sounds like they got all that worked out this morning. But there's not going to be any games today. The NBA has announced there will be no games today. Woj is reporting that the most likely resumption date would be Saturday. It's still possible there could be games tomorrow, but he's reporting that the most likely resumption date would be Saturday. And so, Mace, now we don't know, will they consider playing back-to-backs? Will they go back to an every other day schedule? Do they just stretch everything?
Do they stretch it out and make the bubble time longer? Do they go deeper in it? Yeah, all that stuff. Here's NBA statement regarding NBA playoff games. NBA playoff games for today will not be played as scheduled. We are hopeful to resume games either Friday or Saturday. There's a video conference call meeting scheduled for later on this afternoon between a group of NBA players and team governors representing the 13 teams in Orlando, along with representatives from the NBA Players Association and the league office and NBA Labor Relations Committee. Chairman Michael Jordan will be there to discuss next steps.
Right. So, I mean, we'll have...
It's either Friday or Saturday is basically... By Saturday, it sounds like we will have a resumption of the season.
Right. We just don't know what it looks like. And we don't know when the Lakers are going to play again. And we just know that they are. We know that it's coming. And
But, I mean, John, between you and me, there was a moment last night where we were texting... where it seemed like the whole thing was going to end.
Oh, there were people that thought that early this morning.
Yeah.
Before they got together, that it was going to end. But I think they made the right decision.
I do, too. I mean, I would have supported the players if they had chosen to leave the bubble. Understand that. But in my opinion, continuing to play is the best way to keep a spotlight on police brutality and racial justice. This is they have shook the world. The world got shook yesterday by professional sports. And I think that this is yet another wake-up call for broader citizenship that something needs to change, that there needs to be concrete action taken by federal and state officials, by NBA owners, who I think LeBron has indicated he wants the NBA owners to do more terms of racial justice issues. But they shook the world. And I think had they ended this thing, that spotlight goes away. And I don't know what impact they have if they are back in their hometowns.
Right. They've handled this really well. And I think that they've drawn attention to something that desperately needed attention. Mace, I don't know if you've heard this yet. We played that sound from Doc Rivers yesterday.
Yeah.
That was just heartbreaking. Robert Horry, who has seven NBA championship rings, was on Spectrum Sportsnet last night. And this runs a couple of minutes, but you'll hear Rob just break down into trying to describe what this is like for a black person. Here's Robert Horry on Spectrum last night.
Yesterday, you know, I was sitting there and I started crying. And my wife walks in, she's like, "Are you crying because you turned 50 today?" And I started laughing. I'm like, "No." I said, "Did you see the video of this guy getting shot?" And first, I saw it, I'm looking at it, I thought, well, maybe they're going to tase him, right? Because that's what they do with white people. They tase them. And so I didn't have the volume up. And then Christian walks in the room. He says, "No, Dad, they shot him." So I play it again. I'm like, wow. They shoot this guy seven times in the back. And then I have this conversation with Christian. And he's like, That's wrong. I said, "Yo, it is beyond wrong. It's just flat out evil." And I'm telling him, and it's hard to tell your 14-year-old son that I worry about him when he walks out that door. I have a 21-year-old son. I worry about him because black men are endangered species, pretty much. these cops are just killing because they feel like if they don't have their body cams on, they have a right. And I tell my kids all the time, I said, dude, I don't care what's going on, because at the end of the day, I want you coming home to me. If you have to lay down on the ground and they can kick you, beat you, at least you're going to go to the hospital and you're going to come home to me. Don't, whatever they say to you, don't take it upon yourself to let that rage you have against that cop come out, because he has the gun. He can end you. And I don't want him to end you, because if he ends you, that means I'm going to end him. And I know that's wrong for me to say, but I'm so much a time to kill type of guy, like Samuel Jackson, you know, and this is going to happen with me. And I said, I don't want that to happen. I already lost one child. I don't need to lose another. And I don't think people understand, especially white people, how hard it is for black people to watch that.
That's just extraordinarily revealing. And I mean, if you don't understand why these guys are doing what they're doing, I hope that helps, because the playing field is so unfair. I'm proud of the players. I support the players 100% in how they've handled this. I wish I could support them 200%. I hear stories like that, and they're just heartbreaking.
You know, and John, we got great stuff coming up on the show today, and we'll dig into this issue, in a more complex way. But Tim Bontemps is going to join us at 1:30. He's actually inside the bubble. Matt Barnes will be with us at 2:30, and then Coach Carl, George Carl, will join us at 3:30 this afternoon. And you know, there are a lot of people, John, and I'm sure you're getting this on your Twitter timeline. I'm getting it on my Twitter timeline, and Twitter is not the world. But there are an awful lot of people who are saying, wait a minute, these guys have it wrong. Here's where I think they've got it wrong. There are people that disagree with what the players have done in the past 24 hours. And those are the people I think we should give them airtime, because I want to hear from those people. I want to hear from the people that disagree with NBA players about the issues of social justice, and find out what they think. 877-710-ESPN. That's 877-710-ESPN. Please feel free not to agree with us. 877-710-ESPN. Mason in Ireland, 710-ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, 710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland, continuing to react to yesterday's boycott protest, which will continue today.
Did we lose Mason?
NBA
sounds like we might have lost
today.
Him.
We are waiting to see exactly how they decide to resume the season in one manner. It could be as soon as Saturday, expected to be as soon as Saturday. But in the meantime, you know, it's unbelievable the surge of support that players have gotten. I think that people, broader citizens, are just sick and tired of seeing what we saw with Jacob Blake. Sick and tired.
They're tired of being tired. That's part of the issue, is that these guys have seen this movie 50 times before. And they know how it ends, and they want to change the ending. And that's part of the reason why they've taken the stand that they've taken. And now that they're going to go back and play, it'll be interesting to see what else they do. I mean,
right.
Do they just go back to the way they were handling things before? Is there a change in strategy? What, you know, and I guess they're meeting today to come up with a plan of how to resume the season. And I'm anxious to see what they'll actually do. But I think that that most of the people you heard, and Mace, I was surprised at the level of support they got from other sports.
Oh, yeah.
For example, the Dodgers basically were planning on playing, and Mookie Betts walked in and said to Dave Roberts, I'm not going to play. And when Clayton Kershaw heard that, he said, well, if he's not playing, I'm not playing. And the rest of the Dodgers just lined up behind Betts, and the game was canceled.
Yeah, and we've got some of that stuff. Let's revisit that stuff. Here is Mookie Betts yesterday at a Dodger presser talking about last night's scheduled game.
For me, I think no matter what, I wasn't going to play tonight just because I have to just stand by my guns here. Like Doc said, there's a lot going on in the world, and change needs to be made. You know, I have to use my platform to at least get the ball rolling. And you know, I talked to my teammates and told them how I felt, and they all were by my side. And I can't ask for better teammates than what I have here. And I just appreciate everything that was said and everything that's been done so far.
And here is Clayton Kershaw with his reaction to what went on yesterday and last night.
You know, more than anything, you know, as a teammate of Mookie's, as a, you know, member of this team with Doc and George and Trav and Kenley and all these guys, as a white player on this team, is how can we show support? What's something tangible that we can do to help our black brothers on this team? And, you know, once Mookie said that he wasn't going to play, that really started our conversation as a team as what we can do to support that. And, we felt the best thing to do was to support that and not playing.
And not play. They did. By the way, they will play a doubleheader tonight.
No, they're playing now, and Mookie Betts led off, and he's already scored. And it's 1-0 Dodgers, and Kershaw is on the mound. So they're in the bottom of the first inning. Betts drew a walk and then came in to score, and Kershaw's on the mound. So this is game one of a doubleheader.
Right.
And now in the world we live in, it's a 7-inning doubleheader.
Yes.
And so Kershaw pitched game one. And Walker Buehler, Mace, developed a blister.
Yeah.
And so he's on the 10-day DL. I'm not sure who's going in game two, but it won't be Buehler. He's on the 10-day DL. John in Temecula is online, wants to comment on all this. Hey, John, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, John.
Hi, guys. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm a little conflicted, and I hope you guys can try and understand, and I'm understanding everybody, I think, pretty well. I respect what the players are doing, because the mistreatment of African-Americans and any other race when you have authority like that is wrong, downright wrong, and people who cross that line deserve to get the book thrown at them. But what I get conflicted about is when we see stuff on TV, the individual is either resisting arrest, getting in a fight with the officer, trying to take his gun, trying to take his taser, shooting him with his taser, and these unfortunate incidents happen. Now, I've been pulled over myself, and being a Hispanic American, you know, I was given the talk in the area of East LA where I grew up about do what they tell you. If they tell you to do it, don't resist. And you know, if you have children, don't put your children in danger. Do what the officers tell you. Don't give them any reason. You might come across a crazy man who happens to be crazy that day and harms you or puts you out of your misery. And that's what we don't want to happen. And, you know, I will back them up, but it's hard at times when the people we want to back up are the ones who are resisting arrest and who are not good citizens.
But here's the thing. Regardless of resisting arrest, and I think it's fair to say that Jacob Blake was resisting, there is no reason why he shouldn't be thrown to the ground. There's no reason why he shouldn't be tased. There's no reason why there shouldn't be a better situation than grabbing the guy by the throat and shooting him 7 times in the back.
John, do you understand? I mean, your point about resisting arrest is a good one, and it's a fair point. But
and by the way, that's kind of the talk, I'm assuming, that black dads give their kids.
But, John, There, we had a guy on yesterday. I don't know if you were listening. And he was a 25-year police officer, and his dad was a 25-year police officer. So 50 years of law enforcement on patrol between father and son, and neither one of them had ever fired their weapon. So we're really talking about two different things. Should people resist arrest? No, because then there it could get ugly. But let's say that happens. Let's say that you're a police officer trying to arrest me and I'm resisting arrest. It doesn't give you the right to shoot me. It just doesn't.
No, I you know, and that's where the conflict is. I mean, this individual, do I believe he should have got shot? Hell no. Let alone
right.
in the
that's,
back.
That's
in,
the point in, of the players.
Okay. Okay, thanks, guys, because that's all the right. thing I wanted to get cleared up.
Because, yeah.
So we're not promoting at all. Yeah, resist arrest because it's what could happen. And then
No, if you resist arrest, the situation could escalate and turn into something tragic. But, and thank you for the phone call, John. Mace, Doc Rivers said it best yesterday. They're not asking for special treatment. They just want to be treated like everybody else.
Yes.
And show me the videotape of a white guy getting shot 7 times in the back. You know, it's just not out there. You know, and so they want to be, you know, Doc said it yesterday. They're there to protect and serve. Just treat us like you treat everybody else.
Right.
Which is a completely reasonable ask.
Yeah, and by the way, this whole, you know, Black Lives Matter, the expression Black Lives Matter, basically means we value life. But there are people who value the lives of African Americans less. Black lives should matter just as much as white lives. And right now, that's not the case.
Here's Ryan on line 2. Hey, Ryan, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Mason Ireland, how you guys doing?
We're good,
man.
Ryan.
How are you?
What do you think about all this?
You've been listening to you guys for a long time. So I just don't understand why it's not we're not looking at facts and looking at stuff on why the police were called there or why the situation was escalated. I mean, the guy had, you know, different times where he had been arrested, had a gun, and they see that on the police report when they're going into the job, domestic dispute with the person, which is why he was there. So they're already kind of going there with their, you know, kind of worried about what's going on, and then you resist arrest, you get tased, and then you jump into your car. They don't know if you have a gun or what you have, so they're also trying to just protect themselves.
Ryan, but do you honestly, have you seen the videotape?
I have, yeah.
Okay, so there are 4 of those guys. Didn't they have 15 better options than shooting the guy 7 times in the back? Even what? Treat him like he's like Ben Roethlisberger in the pocket and have your 4 cops tackle him. I mean, it just seems to me that the point everybody is outraged about is that they shot him. And they didn't just shoot him, they shot him 7 times in the back. All of what you said may be true. It doesn't mean it's okay to shoot the guy 7 times in the back. Can you see that distinction?
I do. I just don't understand why it's not, it's kind of turned a blind eye to, you know. You see pictures, the guy had a knife in his hand, and a cop's pointing a gun at you.
Well, there was a knife in the car. Nobody says there was a knife in his hand.
You know, you see, Mace, you can see the picture. We had a knife in his hand. So, okay. And then you reach into a car, it's just idiotic. It's just something you should never do.
Ryan.
I don't say that shooting people in the back is not good. Of course it's not good, but when a cop says stop, like what do you think is going to happen? When you don't listen, and then you reach for your car, most likely to get a gun, we don't know. Obviously, that's not known yet, but the cop obviously felt his life is in danger. I mean, you know, that's what I don't understand. When can you shoot somebody? When the guy has a gun to your face?
Ryan, what would have been wrong if, let's say he did have a knife in his hand, what would have been wrong with shooting him in the leg?
Well, he did tase him, and he kind of broke through. This was a female officer that did tase him.
Right. So tase him again. Shoot him in the leg.
Yeah, I agree. He shouldn't have got to the vehicle.
We're losing you.
Yeah, we're losing you. We're losing you. Sorry, man. But appreciate the phone call and appreciate the perspective. And, I mean, I look, this guy, Jacob Blake, was not a perfect guy. There were issues. And, you know, the police contend that there was a knife in the car. That does not excuse the cowardice of shooting a guy seven times in the back.
Right. I mean, this argument was made a lot in the George Floyd case. It's being made a lot in the Breonna Taylor case, that her boyfriend was a bad guy who fired first. The point remains, there are other options than to just fire your weapon or to sit on a guy's neck for 8.5 minutes. It's about how you treat people. And these people deserved to be treated better regardless of their backgrounds.
Yes.
It's not that hard of a concept. Tim Bontemps is in the bubble, and he's been down there, and he was all over this story last night. And Tim's going to join us coming up.
Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland. It is the day after the largest spontaneous, call it a protest, call it a boycott, call it a strike in the history of sports. And NBA players are exerting their influence on this conversation about racial justice, about police brutality, and about the shooting of Jacob Blake. And joining us right now, I think we've got him now. Do we have Tim?
Yes.
Yeah, joining us right now from inside the bubble is Tim Bontemps. Tim, thanks for coming on. How are you, man?
Doing well, fellas. How are you?
We're good, Tim, and we appreciate you making time for this. I know you're in the middle of a whirlwind down there. You wrote a story along with our friend Dave McMenamin talking about the NBA's Board of Governors and players and the meeting they had this morning. You wrote the story last night. I'm curious, Tim, in your opinion, how close did we come to losing the bubble altogether? How real of a possibility was that?
I mean, it's hard for me to put a percentage on that, but I mean, look, when the Bucks decided not to play yesterday and the rest of the teams followed suit, you know, we got into a territory where it wasn't really sure where this thing was going to go. I kind of always thought that in the end, players would decide to play for a variety of reasons, and I thought that this thing would resume. But, you know, when you decide not to play and you have a meeting and there's no resolution after it, right, it's hard to know what the final outcome is going to be. So I can't say I was surprised that they came back and voted the way they did this morning, but after the way the past couple of days have gone, I really wouldn't have been surprised if this thing had, you know, ended today and everybody had gone home, or if they did what they did and voted to play, and, you know, we'll probably resume here in a couple of days. So it certainly got closer to happening than I ever would have guessed. And I think, you know, the players certainly sent a powerful message, and I think the way this worked out could end up really being the best of all worlds, where they get a chance to, you know, they make a huge historic statement, and players and teams from other leagues follow the path that they set, and now they can come back and have the ability to use their platform to continue to, push the messages that they've been, I think, doing a really effective job of getting out there into the world over the past, you know, 6 or 7 weeks, for another 6 or 7 weeks until this thing is wrapped up.
Tim, what role, if you know, what role did LeBron play in last night's meeting and then ultimately the decision they reached today?
Well, again, I mean, I'm in a bit of a weird spot because I'm not even actually in the bubble. I'm in the sky at the end of the Truman Show, looking down on the show as he walks out of the sky.
Got it.
Me and Dave are in what's called Tier 2. But look, I think what's safe to say, guys, is that guys like LeBron James and Chris Paul and Andre Iguodala, the veteran players who have high positions of influence within the union, all clearly had a big role in this, right? Because this, you know, yesterday was kind of a spontaneous thing. And in that the Bucks kind of decided, hey, we're going to do this. And, you know, the Magic were out on the court warming up at the time, right? Like, it wasn't, I would say everybody wasn't on the same page. But I think that the way this shook out you know, it's clear that when the players had their meeting last night and then had their meeting this morning, everybody was on the same page. Everybody knew what they wanted to do. And, you know, it sounds like I think the meeting this morning was 30, 45 minutes. I think it was a pretty short meeting, and everybody kind of got in there, had a discussion, had a vote. Seems like he was unanimous and walked out.
We're talking to Tim Bontemps from ESPN, who's been covering the NBA in the bubble for a while now, and it looks like Tim is going to start covering it again in a couple of days. I realize, Tim, you may not have a lot of answers for what I'm about to ask, but logistically, when they put this back together, do you envision that they may now go play back-to-backs since they're not traveling? Do you
think
you think they'll go back to an every other day schedule and just resume it on Saturday, maybe?
I think the most likely scenario is that the schedule will just go on as it was going to, just with the games that were going to be played Wednesday and Thursday being played either tomorrow or Saturday, or what I think is more likely Saturday, Sunday, and then you just go on from there. There's no reason to have back-to-backs. I mean, it's not like Disney's going to close on October 12th or whatever, and they have to be out that day. So, you know, they just take a couple days, let everybody have a break. I think kind of an underrated aspect of this is that everybody's been in this bubble for 2 months. People are tired of being here and frustrated. And I think that probably factored into this too, to some degree. This is a weird experience down here, to put it mildly. And I think that, I think everybody getting a couple of days to kind of reset themselves, I think will be a really good thing, and come back Saturday and get started and, you know, kind of resume the playoffs from there.
So there's going to be a call tonight between some NBA governors and I think it's two or three players from each team. From what you know, what's going to be accomplished in that call, or what's the aim of that call?
Yeah, it's going to be between either representatives or owners of the either the owners or representatives of the owners of the 13 teams that are still here, and at least two members from each of the teams that are here. And I think what they're going to do is officially hammer out when the games are going to resume, though it does seem like Saturday is the more likely lean at this point from people I've talked to. And I think they're also going to try to come up with a firm plan of action for what everybody is going to do going forward, right? I think those are the two things that we're going to see come out of this, whether it's, whatever that ends up being, that's what this meeting will be about. And I think it's probably already underway. I think it was supposed to be around 4 o'clock or something like that, Eastern time. And I think, you know, by the end of the day today, I think we'll have a firm sense of both when the games are going to resume and at least some semblance of an idea of, you know, what the league and the players are going to do to further try to advance the causes that, the players not playing yesterday made a pretty important stand to try to fight for.
Tim Bontemps from ESPN is with us. Tim, do you get the sense, and I know I'm asking you to speculate here, but do you get the sense that once they voted to play again this morning, that everyone is pretty much on board with that? Or, I mean, guys like Jaylen Brown, George Hill, Donovan Mitchell have all expressed either through tweets or in interviews that maybe they shouldn't be there, that it just isn't right to play basketball and basketball is not that important. Do you anticipate that some individual guys may end up leaving the bubble, or do you think it's kind of all for one, one for all now?
I think it's possible. It's hard to know what people are going to do individually, right? I mean, one thing that should be said is nobody's ever been made to be here from the beginning, right? Like, if guys decide they want to go home or they have to go home for some reason, they can leave, right? No one's being held here. So I think, I think from that standpoint, if George Hill, who's clearly been upset about what's going on in Milwaukee, understandably so, he says, hey, you know what, guys, I can't be here. Like, then he'll go home, and, you know, that I think will be, I don't think anybody will think twice about it in terms of, you know, trying to pressure him to stay. At the same time, I do think, to your point, you know, I think we'll find out for sure in the next day or two, but I think it's more likely than not that the vast majority, if not all the guys who are here, will stay and keep playing, because, you know, this seems like it was a group decision to continue, you know, just like it eventually became a group decision to not play games yesterday or today.
Hey, listen, Tim, I know you're busy. It is great to talk to somebody who's in the vicinity of the bubble, very close to the bubble,
yeah,
observing it from high in the sky.
So thank you, Tim, for doing
this.
It's
a weird life.
Yeah,
it is a weird life.
It is a weird time, man. Stay safe down there, and thanks again,
Tim,
for coming on.
Anytime, guys. Call me whenever. It's always great to catch up. Stay safe and talk soon.
All right, see
cool. There's Tim Bontemps. So apparently that works. There's like a tier one and a tier two, and the tier two people aren't allowed into the actual facilities. They're allowed to go to the games, but they can't sit down low. I don't fully understand it, but so he's bubble ADJ.
Right. And it's interesting, you know, Mace, to hear, boy, this is a surreal time in sports, isn't it? Just surreal.
We've never seen anything like it. I mean, you think about John Carlos and Tommy Smith and what they did in 1968. You think about what Ali did. You think about what Colin Kaepernick did, which 4 years ago yesterday was the first time that he kneeled and that story became a subject of attention. This is not just an individual, but this is multiple teams now. Three NBA games, three Major League Baseball games, three WNBA games, five MLS games.
The NHL canceled the whole day today.
Yeah, they canceled the whole day. It's the largest. This will go down as the largest public action, boycott, strike, protest in the history of sports. In the history of sports. And all in the wake of the shooting of Jacob Blake. By the way, there's some other stuff. Oh God, I don't know who's worse, Aubrey Huff or did you see Aubrey Huff?
No, but let's talk about that and let's reopen the phones. We want to give you guys plenty of time to react. As you heard earlier, not everybody agrees with us.
Yeah, no,
we are. I think the players did exactly the right thing. I'm glad they're playing again. I think that they're going to maximize their platform. Other people disagree. If you're one of them, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. We'll give you a chance to give your opinion. And we still to come, Matt Barnes, who's really good on subjects like this, the former Laker, former Clipper, former UCLA player, is going to join us. And George Karl, the former coach of the Sonics and the Nuggets and the Kings, and we haven't talked to George in a while. He'll be coming
great
up
guy
in the 3 o'clock hour.
Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland.
What are we listening to?
I don't know what we're listening to. What was that, Jorge? What's that?
It's from Weezer. My bad.
No, what's the game show thing we're listening to now?
So it's the beginning of a Weezer song, but if you start it right from the way beginning and you're playing it off of YouTube, which I assume he probably is,
okay,
there's like a funny
it
intro to it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, there we go.
The song. Okay.
There you go. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Everybody's here. Ireland's at his house. Lindsay's at her house. Jorge is actually in the studio. He's the new Funch. Thanks a lot for listening. We appreciate you being out there, especially in our new time slot. Spread the word. We're back from 1 to 4 every day. And today, we're talking about yesterday's monumental day in sports where a total of 14 professional games were postponed over the shooting of Jacob Blake in Kenosha, Wisconsin.
And we're keeping our phone lines open throughout the show today to let you to react to everything. And the story is evolving. We still don't know when the NBA is going to resume. We don't know when the Lakers are going to play again. We don't know when the Clippers are going to play again. Although Tim Bontemps just speculated, and he's down in the bubble, that it could be Saturday. Could the Lakers Portland could resume Saturday, could even be Friday. We're waiting on final word on that. In the meantime, let's go to the phones, 877-710-3776, and Gene in Corona, who is in law enforcement, is online. Hi, Gene. You're on 710 ESPN.
Hey, guys. Long time. No talk to you guys. It's been a while.
Thanks for calling in, man.
Just really want to shed some light on the use of force policy and how it takes place in these incidents.
Sure.
On that particular Caleb Blake incident, law enforcement, we are given use of force options before it escalates. So we are used to use those use of force policy from step by step.
Okay.
And GBI being the last resort, which is great bodily injury. So a lot of these things, I've been in the department for about 18 years now, and they were completely above and beyond of what they try to do, but they made a humongous mistake by literally resorting to that GBI, which is the...
Gene, before they got to what you're calling GBI, before they fired the seven shots into his back, what are some of the other options they could have used to take him down?
Well, obviously, verbal is the first, and it just escalates from above. From verbal, from trying to quell the situation, calm the situation, as a normal peace officer should do. And if it hasn't gotten to that, and you should, and I'm not sure, of course, I wasn't there, but I'm pretty sure that they have provided step-by-step given instructions to the individual, Mr. Blake.
Right.
And from that point on, physical, if need be. Of course, we try to create distance for our own safety. But then you have your other use of force option, pepper spray, baton, and to name others.
Well, Gene, so, I'm glad you mentioned that.
That's actually a really good point,
I wondered, this is a terrible way to bring it up. But if go back to the Rodney King incident, they were using batons. They were using nightsticks against him. And I never saw a nightstick in the Jacob Blake case. That is still something that officers are able to use if they seem fit, right?
Yes. Based on the lag time of what took place, I saw a little bit of struggle, which physical force was applied, but he was able to get away and go on. Of course, I would never... provide or any type of nor I condone any individual out there being questioned by law enforcement to do what he did. But beyond that, there are still steps, and we go through these use of force committees and being reviewed on each incident that took place.
Yeah.
So he will be critiqued. Of course, the main argument now is whether law enforcement, including myself, will be held accountable for our actions, and did we take the necessary steps for minimal use of force on what we're supposed to do.
So, Gene, let me ask you a question. So you're a police officer.
Yes, sir.
Do you know any officers who treat black people differently from white people?
Do I know anybody? It has not been openly discussed in my department. I cannot prove nor say so. Maybe a lot of that is done closed doors. Yeah. Being a minority myself, I have not seen it nor said it to myself as well, but I can neither prove that as
right.
well
or I gotcha.
Someone else.
I gotcha.
Yep.
All right. Hey, Gene, thank you very much.
Thanks,
for taking
Gene.
The time to call in. It was very enlightening. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Mace, I didn't even think about that. Where were the nightsticks?
Yeah, nightsticks.
That's another thing
that's
they
another
could
one.
Have done.
Nightsticks. He mentioned pepper spray. That's another one.
Yeah. Here's Paul in Studio City. Hey, Paul, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, guys. So, look, I get why the players are mad and why they did the boycott, but my point is this. None of the boycotts going to make a difference unless they either stick to it or they have some sort of, when you have a protest, you got to have a demand, and the demand can't just be we're upset and we're outraged. What I would propose, and hopefully this could catch on, is there was two members of Congress that right after George Floyd tried to pass bills. One of them was by Justin Amash to remove police immunity. The other one was by Rand Paul to take off no-knock warrants. That would have saved Breonna Taylor's life, the no-knock warrant one.
Correct.
And, of course, the other one, which is immunity, has to do with in situations like George Floyd, like Jacob Blake, and these ones, where when cops start being held accountable, like if you're in the military, to end my point, I was talking to a veteran, a friend of mine who was in the Afghanistan war, and he said,
In the military, we have strict rules. If we kill someone who's unarmed or anything, we go to prison. We are held extremely accountable. And he was the one who said to me, police need to be held accountable the way the military is held accountable when they're in hostile territory.
Right, Paul, it's a fair point to make, but I disagree with you, and here's why. I think they've already accomplished something. If you note yesterday, the Milwaukee Bucks stayed in their locker room until they got the Attorney General of Wisconsin on the phone to explain it to him. And since then, that officer has been identified. They've already, the Attorney General has admitted the basketball players did more to promote their cause than the Congress or the state legislature in Wisconsin did in 3 or 4 days. They did it in an hour.
Yeah, I mean, in that locker room, Bucks players spoke to Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call and Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. To me, that's a concrete step. That is a, hey, in Wisconsin, there is an issue. We want to talk to the Attorney General. We want to talk to the Lieutenant Governor. To me, that's a concrete step that those players for the Bucks were able to take.
And, Paul, I would also add that the things you're asking for, those bills to be passed, those aren't something you can do in a day. But you certainly can bring awareness to them and put them on the front burner. And so I think your idea is a good one. I think that that's a good thing to... Like yesterday, Mace, I was pretty blown away. Almost every NBA team, including the Lakers, and the Lakers have a massive social media reach.
Yes.
Put out the phone number and the email address for all the legislature in Wisconsin and said, call these people and demand change.
Yep.
So I actually think they did accomplish something yesterday.
And by the way, Tony Evers, the governor of Wisconsin, has 9 bills that he's pushing, 9 bills for police reform, including proposals that bar the use of chokeholds, that bar the use of no-knock warrants, that require annual training on de-escalation techniques, and establish statewide standards for the use of force. To me, they're starting to get down to the actual changes, the actual reform that is going to make a difference. I would argue that players are getting closer to accomplishing what they want to accomplish because they were willing to stand up and because they were willing to speak truth to power.
And change is slow. I mean, you look back, Muhammad Ali is looked at as a hero for the stance he took, but they took his heavyweight title away.
Yeah.
John Carlos and Tommy Smith were basically outcasts after they threw their fists in the air on the medal stand. But now they look back as guys who are on the right side of history. Colin Kaepernick gave up his career. Look at what people think of Colin Kaepernick now.
Yeah.
So it starts with a drumbeat, and then it gets louder and louder. And I think yesterday they started a pretty loud drumbeat. We'll take more of your phone calls coming up. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. And Matt Barnes, the former Laker, former Clipper, I think he spent 13 years in the NBA, is scheduled to join us coming up next hour.
Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.